Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Other backers, DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black bullies in the back of the bus to smack you up. And stealing your lunch money, your search money, if you look just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say? You got strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
All right, that should all work.
Should it though?
Look, I'm not saying anything that's easily repeatable in some sort of editing software.
What, like, if the sun sweeps, I'll record a monologue, something like that. Yeah, we didn't have that, but then again, nobody had that. Nobody had that. If you go back 2 weeks, you find a single person who said, "Nah, it's cool. The Bucks are going to win this in six." Or even the Bucks are going to win this in seven when they were down, when they had to win four out of the last five to win. No one on earth saw this coming. This is us covering our ass.
Or even Giannis literally like hulking out and like tearing off his knee brace and going, "Fuck you all, I'm just going to smash everything in my path and no one can stop me, not Ayton, not the wall, not anything." Like that was it. He figured out that no one could stop him.
Not Bud's lack of any fucking adjustments or any coaching ability at all. I did like that there was a fire coach Bud batter at the victory parade.
Well, it's the new what was
Wenger out.
Wenger out.
Fire coach Bud and Wenger out. No, but this is the thing. Nobody saw it coming. We're far from the most distant people from the we got it wrong, but everyone had it fucking wrong. Bulls podcast 296. Yeah, we didn't see Giannis just going absolutely ham. We didn't see Chris Paul getting hobbled, although he was limited for sections of the playoffs. And we didn't see Scott Foster going full Kaiser Soze and having his final terrible victory.
How did he get two games in that series out of six? He's got to have some audio tapes or something somewhere.
How did he receive 150 phone calls a fucking week from Tim Donaghy and nobody think anything of it? And it's him still having a job with it.
That didn't matter though, because the Bucks won that like
you can't blame fair and clear.
You cannot blame
the refereeing, although it's funny too.
As much as I didn't enjoy the series because I was just always incredibly fucking tense,
And your team lost. The part where your team lost probably sucked. Yes.
But game five, I
can't relate. I haven't had a team lose in a bit.
It's
Fratelli, Italia, Italia. Okay.
Yeah. How did that feel? Was that?
Second nation won the fucking European championships.
Like
second nation, third nation.
Things you would like your teams to win. Like, obviously, a World Cup's the pinnacle, but this is pretty up there, isn't it?
I don't know. I think a Euro is harder to win than a World Cup because you've got so many. It's a World Cup is a bit more random. Although since they diluted the field back down to a 24-team group stage, maybe less so. When it was 16 teams and they were genuinely 16, any 16 of these teams could probably go out there and win the World Cup. I feel a little bit like after South won the rugby league. It's like, I'm cool for a few years. I'm cool for a few years. You know, I can just if they don't win the next World Cup, that's all right. We've got one on the board. And that's the weirdest shit. But I felt like that after 2006 as well. I was also obviously conflicted in 2006 because they had to beat Australia in very Italian fashion to get through, and that was part of the whole friggin' journey. When it's not the country you're from, but you've got allegiance to, it's never quite as strong. But you know, I think you and I, it's probably fair to say we don't have that kiss the flag or fuck off kind of Australian attitude. I mean, I literally live in another country, and I feel a stronger allegiance to it for a lot of my life than a lot of my days, lot of my hours in a week, I feel a stronger allegiance to New Zealand than I did to Australia because
I've sworn never to coach Australia and like literally will only coach other countries.
Yeah.
So
and luckily Australia also has that opinion of you, so that's fine. And I've also
works well for both.
I'm also refusing to coach Australia.
I went full nihilism in my discussions with Wheatman after that loss, and I was like, it could be another 30 years before we see a final again. That might be our best shot.
Yeah, but it was always for the Bucks, it doesn't feel quite as anomalous, like, does it?
Yeah, you know, it feels
like it's part of a continuum that, you know, this Suns run is a bit more like Heat's run last year, where it's like, you guys are ahead of your schedule or whatever timeline you're on. This is not right for where you've ended up. And it was like that when the Blazers made the conference finals in the year the Raptors won. It's just maybe, you know, sometimes you end up, you could argue this, the England side ended up much higher up than they necessarily should have been based on their talent and particularly their coaching talent. But sometimes your timeline and your performances don't line up, and you've got the opportunity in front of you, you might as well take it.
Pat's convinced that England will like crash and burn in the World Cup, that this will scar them and their young players won't be able to rebound.
No, this isn't the Stuart Pearce Gazza era of player. I mean, these guys have played in bigger games than this already. They've been playing in fucking European Cup finals. I mean, most of this squad has played in all the guys who've played for Liverpool or Spurs or Chelsea or Man City, which is a lot of that squad, have already played in a fucking European Cup final, which is as big a game as any World Cup final. So, well, it'll probably hurt Saka for a while, but I don't think it'll curse him the way it cursed Stuart Pearce when he missed penalties in 1990, or Gareth Southgate himself when he missed penalties in 1996. I don't think he'd love carry it around with him.
And the three guys that missed are also young. Like, they've probably got, what, two more European Cups and two more World Cups in them if they stayed in form.
Unfortunately, Saka plays for Arsenal, so this might be the most important game he ever plays in. But yeah. Shouts to the Arsenal. Rashford's with Man United, and I think Rashford's biggest problem is probably going to be that they've just brought in Sancho. They don't play exactly the same position, but it's certainly going to be more competition for spots. And who else missed? Oh, Walker, who's Man City's. He's got Pep's power of mental thought behind him. He'll be fine.
So there was a whole heap of stuff that spun off, a whole heap of sort of thought processes that spun off from the Bucks winning that finals. And the first
one that
was, hit me,
you know, kill everybody and burn the room.
No, the one that hit me is I still think the Suns really fucked up by taking Ayton. And Ayton's had a really good series and he's going to be a really good player. But you do actually really need that sort of guy that can just make shit happen. If you look at like what the last however many finals, probably back to the I was actually thinking about it, that like the Spurs are the last team that really didn't have a guy that could just make things happen when the game got tight. And
I won't stand for this Chris Paul erasure. You are never going to get Nick, look, you're not getting.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I know. I realize if you've got
you're not getting. Well, if Doncic is basically what you're saying is Doncic instead of Ayton, yeah, or
yes,
arguably Trae Young instead of Ayton. You're not making that trade for Chris Paul. Well,
no, that's the thing.
Trae Young in this series has made that a discussion. I think you'd still take Doncic. Yeah, I reckon Doncic has flaws in his game.
You're right.
Doncic has conditioning issues. Doncic has some attitude problems, and Doncic knows he's a star in a way that's going to be difficult.
If you've got Doncic and you don't have Chris Paul, you're not in the finals this year.
No, none of those kids make those. I don't think Ayton makes the leap that he's made this year if you don't have Chris Paul in his fucking ear, on his fucking case. I think a lot of that's been attributed to Ayton's leap has got a lot to do with having a player manager on the floor shouting at him. And if Chris Paul didn't fall apart in the final games, we might not be having this discussion with this tone, won't we? I mean,
yeah,
it probably went seven.
Well, okay, so that's one of the other things I wanted to talk about was, like, I've heard quite a bit of Drew Holiday sort of, oh, you know, he didn't have a really good final series. What game did Chris Paul and Booker go off in together. I don't think they had a single game where both of them were, like, awesome. And it was usually the one that went really well was usually the one not being guarded by Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He literally shut down one of their weapons for the whole series. He had one good offensive game, which happened to be the most important game in the series. The dude had an awesome fucking final series.
He did exactly what he did to fucking Dame Lillard. In the series they played years ago. The idea that Holiday didn't have a decent series is basically the kind of tedious box score watching, superficial analysis that you expect from NBA Twitter.
Okay, and then the other one I was thinking about, because I was thinking about, I've read quite a bit of stuff on Gidley this week, and...
Kirk Gidley, former Newcastle.
yeah. For some reason, I'm right into my rugby league this week. No. Giddy, not Gidley. What am I fucking saying? I've had too much to drink this afternoon.
Blasphemy.
When we...
This is Josh Giddy, the young prospect who's likely to get drafted somewhere in the pointy end.
Yeah, so he was a Melbourne Tigers junior and then... Was a next right? Is it Next Stars? What's the program called?
Rare for a young Aussie kid to be your Next Star, yeah.
Yeah. So he went to Adelaide,
it's Americans who get that Next Star thing. The Terrence Ferguson's in your your fucking Lamella Balls RJ Hampton's.
RJ Hampton. You know, he's come through this system of, he came through the Melbourne Junior system, then he went to that Olympic. The academy in Canberra, which is, what's it called? It's called the NBA something something academy in Canberra, and then went and played for Adelaide, and now it looks like he's going to be a high draft pick, right? And I was just wondering, like, when I first started really getting into the NBA, it seemed like if you were a serious Australian prospect, you sort of packed up your whole life when you were 14.
Yeah.
And went and lived in America and played in these academy teams and played in these AAU teams, and then you went and played college, and then you got into the NBA.
At the very least, you played college, and you probably might have played a bit of high school before that. You did, or that's what Bogut did. That's what fucking Dellavedova did. That's what, you know, all these guys did.
The one I'm thinking of because of his similarity in lack of skill set, I guess, is like Simmons and Giannis have. They're not an exact comp, but they have some similarities.
They have similar flaws, that's for sure.
Yeah, the difference is that
Giannis works his way around them. Giannis kind of...
Yeah.
Giannis doesn't deny them. I mean, if you say, Giannis, you suck at free throws, he's like, yeah, I know.
He's like, I'm working on it.
Whereas Ben Simmons would be like, but did you see all the points I scored with my facilitating? You know, it's like, no, but you can't hit a fucking free throw.
So that's my point is, I wonder what Simmons would have looked like if he'd not gone back to America when he was 15.
If he literally had any player development at all and not just gone to LSU because it was a cool school that Shaq went to.
Yeah, and played in AAU teams that are...
Yeah. With no player development.
Well, this is the big thing, right, is HP Basketball tweeted out, like, you know, the list of sort of impactful players in the last 10 years that have not been top 10 draft picks. And it's fucking huge. Like, the amount of players impacted. And that is literally how much time. Like, it's sort of like a two sides of the coin, right? You got to have someone that's like Middleton that's just willing to put in the work and willing to put in the effort. But then you've also got to have coaches and support staff and the stuff around them to develop those players.
Absolutely.
And for whatever flaws the top level of Milwaukee's coaching has had, their development stuff has always, like, their development staff have always been poached by other teams before their sort of head coaches have been poached.
Yeah. And yet they're still turning over and they're still producing quality players. I mean, you've got two things happening there. You've got one, which is that once you get outside, say, the top 5 to 8, it's pretty much a wash in terms of the talent. I mean, it's just a matter of how well drafted and how developed the players are and how good the information is. And two, you get a better quality of organization drafting later in the, generally, unless there's been pick swaps and things.
That's a big thing, isn't it?
So the talent differential peters out and it all becomes, you know, much of a much, you know, it's the gradient becomes less steep, but going the other way, the curve of organizational resource and talent goes up again. So that if you're much better off, you know, being a 17th pick to the Spurs than you are being a 10th pick to Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or a number two pick to Sacramento.
Yes. Well, what else was I thinking about from the finals? I do like there is a conception where the Suns could take this experience and make another leap. You know, Ayton could go up, Bridges could go up, Booker could turn into that like absolute super duper star like Giannis did this year. Like he has gotten better every single season. There's no reason to doubt that's his top level. Like the dude's only what, 24, I think. He's still pretty young.
Yeah, I think the one problem that the Suns have is the Suns. Yes, the Daystar, old Goldie, the Bernie thing. I did see a little bit of sun this week. I was like, oh fuck, that's what that looks like. One issue is they have to have a Chris Paul exit strategy because eventually he's just going to get old and washed and can't play anymore. And I don't think their roster can get a stepwise. They can't replace him with anybody as good again.
No.
Unless they can pull a really big free agent. And as we've seen, usually those guys don't get to be free agents because they've found another solution before that. But NBA is becoming a little bit more like football, where guys never become free agents. Well, actually, let me change that. Football is becoming more like the NBA as well, whereby guys never used to become free agents. They would always get traded within their contract because teams were massively incentivized to trade a player, so they would get some value. Now, right now, Lionel Messi is a fucking free agent, but he's, you know, signing a contract with Barcelona. So they're seeing a little bit more of players running down their contracts and becoming free agents so they can sign without the burden of a transfer fee so that they can get top whack in terms of salary. The NBA is moving much more towards the old football model, whereby players never are less likely to become free agents because it's in their interest not to become free agents because they can – previously, they would lose the ability to negotiate where they got to go to. That's why they wanted to become free agents, so they could pick their destination and their salary because their salary was pretty much going to be the same. But now big players are able to pick their destination.
Pick their destination anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it becomes, well, that disincentive is gone.
And that brings us to Dame Lillard and all the shit we've seen – come out in the 2 weeks since we last talked, you couldn't
I haven't
really
been looking.
Blame.
That's how I haven't seen it. I don't want to look.
Your owner is making my owner look very, very nice right now.
I was going to raise the question of how the hell we're going to do a basketball podcast next year when you don't want to watch because your team lost and I don't want to watch because my team is the fucking worst.
Yeah.
I literally found $4.97 Dubs, Golden State Warriors, Mitchell and Ness, fucking retro snapback, fucking cap for $4.97 in a bargain bin. And I've been wearing that for the last week. So apparently I'm a Dubs fan now. Yay, Dubs. At least Joe Lacob's a bell-in, but at least he's not Jody Allen.
Yeah, Jody Allen's, I think, problematic. Like I said the other week,
a lot of people have got skeletons in their closet. She has literal fucking skeletons. In her closet. Giraffe bones that she stole from Africa while sexually harassing her security detail.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was asking the ex-military men to strip for her was what I found interesting.
Dance for me, boy. But you don't, I mean, you imagine like, okay, what's the sister of one of the guys who runs Microsoft going to be like? And you think, oh, they're kind of bookish, nerdish fucking sad cases. You don't expect massively thirsty creepmonger.
I reckon Tillman Fertitta's like...
I would have expected that from Tillman. He would have had his own... He would have slimed all over the fucking Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders or something. But, yeah, I didn't get that one.
Do you reckon Tillman and Dolan are like, yes, we're not the worst owner in the league anymore? We're number two.
Well, I reckon Dolan. Well, the problem is Dolan thinks he's a good owner, and Tillman doesn't care that he's a bad owner because y'all can shut up and listen.
Yeah. I don't know.
To be fair, you've still got a bad owner.
Yeah, I've still
just
got a bad owner.
Winning is masking it for the moment. It's a little bit like Chris Paul is masking your lack of a point guard for the moment. But in a year and a half, or maybe less than that, you're going to have campaign for your real friends and real pain for your fake friends, or whatever that fucking line is.
Well, look, the thing is, it's very possible that New York just throw another, like, Chris Paul is 31 and absolutely awesome contract at Chris Paul, and Chris Paul goes to the Knicks. That is entirely on the cards.
Chris Paul is some kind of basketballing littlest hobo, just going from town to town, solving crimes and just basically improving the place, and then just sort of tottering off at the end of the episode. You can absolutely see him doing that until he literally can't walk. This is why he rigged the rules so that you can still get paid at 38.
Yeah, he can still get like a $30 million a year contract for 4 years. So, I don't know.
Still got to find you a point guard, though, which is ironic given the history of the Phoenix Suns with point guards.
Yeah.
Previously had like 93 of them. Maybe you can get Goran Dragic, because I'm sure he'll eventually get traded out of Miami in some kind of nonsense deal.
I don't think he ever wants to go back to Phoenix.
A bit like sure Emile Hassan. He doesn't want to go back to Phoenix either.
Oh, yeah. Any other thoughts on the Bucks? Like, they were just awesome. That was the thing. It was really hard to watch where there's a side. You cannot dislike the Bucks. I'm sorry. You just can't. They play really hard. They've got...
You can dislike the city of Milwaukee and, you know, being fairly Blue Lives Matter and all that sort of stuff. But, the Bucks are an old team, a team with, you know, a long history of, you know, Kareem before he was Kareem, you know. This a long story franchise that uses horrible American words. Well run, well thought of. Had always been there or thereabouts. A really engaging superstar who they drafted and they built up and they looked after the right way. And his ridiculous numbers are the headline act, but it was a real team effort. Behind it, it looked a bit like that Toronto team of 2 years ago, where you had Kawhi was the headline act, but there were so many really critical bits away. I mean, Chris Middleton's been hard to call him bit part when he's, you know, going off for significant points in quite a few of those games.
Shall we talk about the bombs that Giannis dropped on his way out? You know, I won the right way. didn't go to a superstar team.
You can say all that when you win.
I know, but Dame
said all that too, and now he's in a position where he's like, shit.
I know, but the fact is that he actually, like, everyone was sort of like, oh, Giannis is a bit crazy staying in Milwaukee. You know, he's never going to win without help, which he got, but, you know, he didn't need it.
I mean, he got enough help, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do the Nets thing for sure, and, like, I just love the moxie to go, hey, Durant, even if you win another one, it's not going to mean as much as mine.
It doesn't count in my personal record book. It's very Stugatz of him. It's extremely Stugatz areas.
Just like, you know, for such a friendly, smiling, happy, you know, talk to anyone guy. Just like, he turned into Arnold Schwarzenegger and just laid it down.
Because he doesn't come from the AAU college Team USA circuit. He stands to lose nothing by torching these motherfuckers. Just making them, just shredding them. It's like, nah, you guys are fucked. I don't have to be friends with you.
Yeah, well, even the, like, you know, Kobe and LeBron and all those sort of superstars that have, you know, summer camps and reach out to the new up-and-coming star to come and, you know, hang with them so that, if they have a really good season, that the narrative can be pointed back to, oh, well, you know, he worked out with LeBron in the offseason, and that's why Giannis is like
Hakeem and learn his post moves, and, you know, he went with Kobe, and he's like, no, fuck off, I don't need any of you people.
I'll just get my two bros and my wife to run fucking sprints with me, and you guys can all fuck off.
And it worked because it worked. If it didn't work, and
that's right.
It's a down year, and there's quite a few big teams that could have stopped this from happening, but they didn't, and there's no point even fucking talking about it. Because as Tom Haberstroh has said, and backed up with data, because that's what he does, every season has a fucking asterisk. Now, this one has a lot of asterisks, has an entire series of asterisks. He's in Gaul, he's in fucking Belgium, he's in England, asterisk is everywhere, but it's fucking, it doesn't matter because, you know, in 20 years' time, all you see is Milwaukee Bucks, 2020, 2021, champions yeah. of the National Basketball Association.
And look, like I hate to agree with Brian Windhorst, but once you win, you can do whatever the fuck you like. You got the ring. The ring yeah. doesn't – like, they don't make the ring smaller for a particular year or bigger no, for a particular year. It's, no, just, it's just the ring.
The only asterisk on that ring is all the fucking diamonds.
Yeah. And, like, same with Bud. Bud's well, golden forever. Like,
well, at least until they start sucking, until they miss the playoffs next year.
But, like, and again, this is not a reference you're going to enjoy, but as Bill Simmons pointed out, Carlisle won a ring and never won a – he's never won a finals. Like, he's never gone past the first round for a decade. And
yeah, but he
is a good coach. He's a really good coach.
And he's buds with the owner. That makes a huge difference. Yeah. I don't really feel necessarily that Bud is buds with the owner in Milwaukee, because the owner in Milwaukee is a bit more a bit lower profile. But I mean,
oh for sure. But even okay, maybe Doc Rivers is a better example, who's like burnt his way out of a couple of places, but still seems to get jobs. How long ago was that? That was 14 years ago, that championship. But he's a championship winning coach, so he gets that respect on his name.
And he's got a lot of media friends who vouch for him a lot.
Yeah, but like so, what's the Lakers? Like, this is terrible.
Vogel.
Like, Vogel will probably get another job after the Lakers simply because he has won a championship.
But also, the book on Vogel was that he was like the 14th choice, and he's like, I don't give a shit. It's a bit like Ange Postecoglou at Celtic. He's like, do you care that you're the fifth choice? No. I do not give a shit that I was a fifth. I'm here
yeah,
now.
You rock up and
I want to win some shit.
Can.
I'm going to win us some shit. And that's literally what, I mean, he wasn't quite as bolshy as Ange Postecoglou has been, which has been wonderful, even as somebody who's not necessarily a Celtic fan. But, yeah, I mean, Vogel literally made the team work well. Now, he's lost his most important assistant coach. Sorry, I couldn't say that without bursting into laughter. I don't wonder why.
I really do feel sorry for Luka. I do. Like,
oh, you feel sorry for Luka, but not for Dame?
I don't think Dame will be there, so.
Yeah, but he'll be somewhere that has enough shit to trade for him. And if you've looked at the teams that have enough shit to trade for him, that normally involves teams that are not in a better position than the Portland Trailblazers.
Okay, so is him and Embiid enough to win a championship?
I mean, that presumes Embiid has intact.
Is intact. Like, yeah, if Embiid has a healthy year.
I mean,
anything's going to be a better
matchup than Simmons and Embiid, because they just don't work. And I think Simmons might be a better match for some of the parts they have in Portland. But
yeah, because you probably lose Maxi and Tybal at the same time, I would say.
Yeah.
Like Dame's a top five player.
You know,
like,
where he needs to go? Phoenix Suns, because they need
Phoenix Suns.
they need a guard. And to be fair, let's be honest about Dame. He's 31 years old.
Yeah.
He's probably not, if he wins a title now, it's getting to the point where he is the third best or the fourth best player or the bench leader. He's closer to the Carmelo end of his title window than the Devin Booker end of his title window.
I do think his skill set will, like, you know, what? if Curry
shooting
and Dame
from an adjoining postcode, yeah.
It's not like you have to take the hits.
There's been a lot of nonsense talked about the Dubs being in the market for Dame. What the fuck are they going to do with Dame Lillard? It literally does the same thing as their best player, just maybe not quite as well.
Just shoot from 30, like just take turns to shoot from 30.
The only way that makes sense is if you assume you're not getting Clay back under any circumstances.
Oh, there was talk of like Clay wanting Clay moving to the three as he sort of got a little bit older, because you know, threes were just a little bit slower, so it was a little bit easier for him to guard.
True, but you just on a sheer salary situation, I don't really see how that. Well, I know for a brief period they managed to fit KD under there as well, but
yeah,
I just don't see
but
it.
But KD's a perfect, like, if you said, create me another superstar to fit in with
literally anybody,
well,
literally Steph, fucking anybody, because he is so malleable. Playing
Draymond. Yeah, but
I mean, he had that awful nickname that he gave himself, the servant, because he just fits it around other people. But, you know, it's awful, but it says a lot about who he is as a person and as a basketball. He just wants to hoop, and he just wants to facilitate other people being great. Dame Lillard for Kyrie Irving, who says no. Portland. Wow. Portland deserves Portland, Kyrie
probably.
Irving. Portland deserves Kyrie Irving.
The Kyrie to Philly rumor was interesting, because Kyrie does do everything for Philly that they need to do. You know, late game shooting, run pick and roll with Embiid all day. You know, when you need hero ball at the end of the game, then you actually have someone that can do hero ball at the end of the game, which they don't have.
But all of that presumes that people don't have feelings and people don't have agency.
Yes,
and
that's right.
We know that KD and Kyrie run that shop.
Sure,
they
run
it. There's this book that's come out that apparently is extremely well sourced, just talking about just to what extent they fucking run that place.
Hmm.
So KD and Kyrie are together for as long as they can stand each other.
Well, like, I've always appreciated that LeBron's got those three high school mates that, you know, get equipment manager jobs or something, like,
yeah,
you know, middle management jobs. Just wherever LeBron goes, they pick up their whole lives, and they probably get, you know, they're paid a lot more than you and I do.
It's a bit of an entourage thing, but also you look after the people who are around you because you need trusted confidants. I mean, Valentino Rossi has for the longest time, an old schoolmate of his was his offsider, and he's now basically the director of his race team, because he has a junior race team that's actually going into MotoGP next year. In fact, it's kind of in there already with his half brother Luca. So this is just a, you know, old schoolmate, but he's always been around Rossi, because you need people. Obviously, it's nepotism to have your, thank you, Phil Jackson, posse around you, but you also, if you're surrounded by leeches and agents and scumbags, you kind of feel like you need people around you who you can trust.
Yeah.
It was luckily, because we will never make any money at all, we don't need to worry about it.
That's right. Well, Adam is our posse. That's
yes.
That's what it is.
Yes. And our musical economist, right, and our classically trained penis. Should we put our usual level of interest into covering the Olympics?
Yep. Okay.
I need that cricket sound effect. I know. I did watch the Ollie Roos and the Ollie whatever the New Zealand team is get a couple of fantastic wins earlier in the week. The young Australians, they took apart a potentially not that good Argentina team, but they played football, like they passed it around and shit, and you can really see the difference where every one of those players is a regular on an A-League team. So they play professional football at a decent level that has a lot of pace to it, and that prioritizes organization. And you can tell that these kids are ready for some shit in a way that a under 23 team isn't always.
Yeah. I'll watch a bit of the Olympics. I'll watch the basketball. I'll watch the 1500 and the 5K with Curtis, because he's decided that he will either be in the Ollie Roos squad or the 5K for the Brisbane Olympics that we won in very heavily inverted commas.
You're going to the open ceremony.
Well, I went to the Sydney Olympics.
How the fuck does John Coates not get his face slapped for that?
Well,
he's like, woman's literally trying to manage a pandemic, and you're telling her what her fucking social engagements are. Mm-hmm. Go and feed yourself to a shark, you fucking wanker.
Olympic officials are the absolute worst.
Oh, yes.
Have been ever since I could, like, had rational thought and are still.
Samaranch, who was Franco's fucking executioner, dropping the fucking hanky. Your Tunstall. Kathy Freeman's bloody flag. Coates, Lord Kevin Gosper. Dick Pound. I'm just mentioning Dick Pound because I just like saying Dick Pound.
Do you know who I am actually getting some joy of? Is Matisse Thybul, who's probably spent less time in Australia than I have.
Bloody Pakistan. You've spent more time in the Philippines than he's spent in Australia. But probably. Somebody said he's embracing his inner boomer. And I think it was our regular motorsport correspondent who pointed out that on Twitter.com, most people are embracing their inner boomer, mostly to complain about vaccines.
But he's having a ball. He's loving it. And I do think that it's a match made in heaven of his attitude towards playing basketball and the Australian, yeah. the general Australian. Like, I just think of he all the stuff that people. Joey.
He never knew he was. He never knew how Australian he was. Or how kind of this think, Australian he was.
Think of all the shit that Joe Ingles is teaching him while he's away.
You know, double to the Jazz.
Yeah, not stuff that's like on court stuff. Just. This is how you put someone off their game.
Yes.
Just put your arm around them and whisper some stuff in their ear.
See, Paul George? Here are five things I've said to him that have made him cry. On camera.
It's the James Harden one that just gets me, where he puts his arm around James Harden. Harden just looks at him, what the fuck are you? Who are you? What are you doing?
Who is this air conditioning repair man, and why is he draping his arm over my shoulder? God sees him.
Well, if it was KD, the guards might have seized him.
Well, I think guards were one of the problems on that team because, of course, the actually, KD's having a few issues, isn't he? I mean, obviously, they lost to Nigeria and to Australia in warm-up games, and there was some kind of Twitter barney going on between Bam Adebayo and Kevin Durant that blew up.
Well, one of the NBA writers wrote, you know, Luka Doncic is the best player at these Olympics. You know, don't be surprised if they make an absolute run. And everyone's like, oh, KD's absolutely seen this.
Yeah.
Can't wait for his reply.
Don't even need to snitch tag it. You know that one of the burners has found this. Yeah. But in terms of the Olympics, I'm just going to watch the sports that I would be watching anyway and that have just been interrupted for the course of the Olympics. So literally the football, the basketball, cycling. The cycling, and the surfing. Everything else can probably take a big jog.
Did you know there's basketball in the Olympics and then there's
three on three
basketball?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And America the USA didn't qualify. I don't know whether they couldn't afford to send any of Ice-T's teams or whatever it is. Ice Cube's teams.
Yeah. Okay. That gives me hope that touch football might actually be a sport in the Brisbane Olympics.
I'm surprised it's not. I mean, why wouldn't it be? I mean, and everything else is.
Yeah.
And usually the host nation gets to pick a couple of demonstration sports. Here's the problem. Do a bit of mental math and remind yourself how old you're going to be at the 2032 Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, you can coach until you're 70. I'm fine.
Who are you, fucking Roy Hodgson? Let me do that again with a more local reference. Who the fuck are you, Wayne Bennett?
Well, okay, Popovich is coaching the US in the Olympics. He's 70.
Yeah, and they suck. Have you not noticed that? They're almost as bad as Larry Brown's team. And you know, some people have pointed out the fact that Pop is a Larry Brown guy, and it doesn't seem to be going that well in the same kind of way. When you can't build your own kind of structure. You can't build your own organization from within. You've got to take a bunch of people and all star them together. It's not really what Pop's good at.
No. I was thinking it's more like a Bellamy. He's like Bellamy in Origin.
Because
Bellamy's an awesome club coach with his systems and his
structures organization.
And building players up. Yeah. But I don't know whether he's a good throw a whole heap of people together coach.
Drop some basic shit and then you make it work. Yeah.
And the other thing is, the rest of the world's just fucking shitloads better.
Yeah,
like look at the Australian team.
They're not shitloads better than America for the United States, but they're better than they were. The Angola team that got their asses handed to them by the Dream Team? They were stopping every stoppage to get photos taken. Players aren't doing that shit anymore because they see these guys day in day out. They are their peers.
Yeah, Luka and there's a lot of guys in this Olympics tournament that just do not give a fuck about the fact that these guys play in the NBA because they play in the NBA and they've played games in the NBA where they've handed these guys their ass. So,
I mean, Serbia's entire rotation is NBA. It's like they've got seven or eight players. They all play in the fucking NBA. Yeah. Australia, you look at their lineup, it's all NBA guys or guys that will be in the NBA.
Be in the NBA.
And Dante Exum, who has been in the NBA and maybe again one day.
Well, that's the thing is there's probably a couple of guys like Giddy and Exum and on other teams that are seeing this as an opportunity to, like, if they have a really good run, it might reframe how people see them going forward in the NBA. It's like,
This is what happens in all big football tournaments too. I mean, Gigi Donnarumma, the Italian keeper, who I besmirched the other week by saying, never trust anybody who looks too much like Ben Simmons for his own good. I should have pointed out that Ben Simmons, one thing Ben Simmons is good at is stopping, is blocking shots. And that's exactly what Donnarumma turned out to be good at. But Donnarumma has got again, ran his contract out at Milan, has got a massive free agent move to PSG, the most cashed up club in European football. A lot of it on the back of his fantastic performances in the Euros, being the player of the final, and might have been player of the tournament for Italy. So yeah, it's the same kind of thing. Get in the shop window, get yourself that big move.
Yep. Speaking of big moves, should we move on to some music?
Well, speaking of which, getting in the shop window, are we both trying to get transferred to better podcast now that we have to stop the podcast because you don't want to watch basketball anymore, neither do I.
Well, I was really hoping we could stop the podcast because we'd both achieved our winning goals, but it hasn't quite turned out that way for me.
Yes, maybe we shouldn't finish an episode of the podcast by saying we're going to stop the podcast, but we're going to stop this episode of the podcast.
Yes, because I have no wine left.
Yeah, and I've run out of beer. This was the Bulls podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, Doc. We should do every 2 weeks more often. That was rollicking.
Well, by that logic, we should do it every 4 weeks, and then we should do it every 2 months. And then we do one podcast a year that's brilliant. I did love the whole fucking English narrative thing about, you know, oh, penalties are unfair and unjust, and we need to come up with a better way of settling penalties.
Yeah.
In the same breath as England, who claimed to have won the 2019 Cricket World Cup on a count back of fucking whatever it was.
Was, yeah.
Fucking, how many pubic hairs were in the jar, sort of thing.
As admirable as the England football side was, their fans were not.
Everybody outside the playing group are fucking bell ends.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? Funnily enough, we did not talk about rugby league this week. But did you see that?
What do you mean, funnily enough, we haven't talked about rugby league? When the fuck have we ever talked about rugby league?
Did you see that batshit story about the New South Wales Origin guy?
Was this the one who's going to get the entire league thrown out of Queensland, Happy Curacao?
Well, he, unsurprisingly, got guy, wife and two kids, a very attractive wife with two kids.
Yeah, but she's had two kids, man. Think about this like a 20-year-old who's had a bit too much attention paid to him.
Has a woman back to his hotel, breaks protocol, whatever. So breaks COVID rules back at the New South Wales camp, has this woman back to his room, and then they fly to Kingscliff and drive into the Gold Coast, and he fucking smuggles
her. How do you fly into Kingscliff?
I don't know. Drove, maybe?
But you can fly to Ballina. That's probably the best you can do. I don't think you can. Unless you're helicoptering.
Yeah, maybe the story got it wrong. But anyway, that they come into the Gold Coast, right? He smuggles this woman into his hotel room in the Gold Coast across the border.
At least he's loyal to her in this. Yeah. He's loyal to somebody.
And then after the and then he was going to be the 18th man, but then he got pulled into the team. So he's like, look, I'm going to delete my Snapchat. I'm not going to talk to you anymore because I don't want any distractions. Okay, so she gets the shits and fucking DMs the wife on Instagram and says, hey, I've been fucking your husband for the last 4 nights while he's been in Origin camp. So she obviously, like, less than impressed. She spills the beans and he gets done for breaking fucking COVID protocol. It's like, can you guys just not fucking focus on what your actual job is for 20 seconds? What the fuck?
And he was away from home for how long on this Origin trip?
For like 4 days.
I can't imagine being that fucking thirsty. That's a lifetime ago. I mean, I remember there were periods where I was thinking, yes, I'd like to have sex a lot and possibly more than once a day. Now I'm really old. I'm so washed. I can't even imagine wanting to have sex. Like, oh, good, I get a week off. That sounds excellent. I'll just go up the girl goes, play some rugby league. I'll be fine. I'll come back. She'll miss me. Have a nice, a little cuddle and we'll probably just fall asleep.
Who was the guy in the bubble that broke protocol for a woman and just got roundly...
From the Rockets.
Yeah, and he
just might be out of the league now.
Yeah, he got roundly fucking panned because everyone's like, dude, like, okay, you're thirsty as, but we're fucking professionals here.
Yeah.
Do your fucking job.
We're trying
first.
To get this money. We're trying to make sure the whole thing falls apart. Well, the thing is that I don't think it feels like... Because Origin doesn't make money specifically for the players, it makes money for the league.
Mm.
I don't think they have the same
sense
of collective responsibility. It's weird how socialist that is, really. They're all.
I really do think though the NRL, those guys don't fucking see themselves. They just see themselves the same as the guys that used to go, you know, fucking play footy on a Saturday afternoon and then go and get pissed. Like that, they really do just see themselves as those knockabout sort of blokes.
Yeah, but they also see themselves as cashed up tradies, as independent contractors. They're only in it for themselves and they have no allegiance to the code or to the club or to the overall thing. And that's fine because the code and the club will fuck them over just as much as anything else. But they have to be so relentlessly stupid about it.
Hmm. That was just holy shit.
Yeah. But someone made the point, okay, if Queensland throws the NRL out, what happens to the NRL? I mean, all of the NRL island solutions involved Queensland islands.
They would never do it. That was
well, they'd probably have to check with John Coates first.
Yes. All right, I'll be back.